Banks for one or two terms. She was active as a pioneer. Her son Wally was the chief of staff for Senator Stevens. Ruth, in the last couple of years of her life, was the Fairbanks aide for Senator Stevens. She was the one who conceived of the idea of a fish hatchery, and the senator was able to set aside up to $10 million in fees. And she was just extraordinary in what she meant to the community of Fairbanks. So it's a great honor for her and her family. Have been in Fairbanks for decades, and the proposed location for the hatchery is actually only probably a quarter mile from their residence, so it's just fitting in all manners. She was one of the greatest ladies that I ever had the privilege of knowing through my youth and young adulthood, and she just passed away last year, and she was working on behalf of the community for the senator and for the betterment of our community until her very last day. She was a terrific lady. Thank you for the opportunity to say nice things about Ruth Burnett.
Other questions?
No, I just a comment on that. She led the fight to clean up that area down around the Chena River and down there, and was very successful. That you remember what it used to be like, and I'm sure Jay does, and what it's like today, and it's just a different place. So I think this is very honorable and fitting.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody on the? No. Anybody in the audience want to testify? Seeing none, back to the committee. Representative Wilson.
Are you ready for a motion? I move House Bill number 256 be moved out of committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 256 is moved from committee. Thank you. Now we're going to hear House Bill 251, and there's an intention to hold the bill, so well, at this time we'll bring a representative up. State your name and your affiliation.
Is this the Resource Committee or the Fisheries Committee?
We're doing this helping our fellow committee men.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ralph Samuels from District 29. HB 251, it would give some authorization to the Board of Fishery to assign fishing privileges for those who already hold one permit in a salmon fishery. They would be able to buy a second permit, and the intent of the bill is for limited purposes actually use and fish the permit. Market forces already prompt permit holders to buy or sell permits. This bill would not require anybody to buy or sell a permit. It would not. What the bill would do is add another option for specific fisheries to deal with situations where salmon prices are falling, and that's contributed to large numbers of outstanding permits. It would allow the Board of Fish to have another tool to reduce the amount of gear in the water is really the intent, and try to consolidate some of the fisheries a little bit. And I know that I've talked to the chairman quite a bit here about some potential amendments. Both, I don't know if you have one prepared for right now.
No.
Or if we've got some others that we'll try to talk to the Department of Law about over the next couple of days. But I appreciate the hearing and having the discussion get going on this right now.
Questions?
Chairman?
Speaker?
Does this bill have a lot of support from UFA or the fishing groups, or what was the driving force?
The driving force, UFA talked to me about it. I made some calls to some folks back in my hometown out in Bristol Bay, and I think it's mostly people are going to be supportive of this. Representative Thomas and I have some sideboards to put on it to make sure that the goal that we've got is to reduce the amount of gear in the water without hurting any of the local communities, that those goals are met. And we're still working on, but generally the concept, that's kind of what the concept does, and you'll hear from UFA here in a minute as well as some others.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. We have off-net here. We have, let's start with Haynes, Mike Saunders.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Saunders here in Haynes. And first of all, I'd like to make sure that the information that was sent to Ms. Leduza's office from the department regarding this idea when it was a Board of Fish proposal number 378 is submitted as evidence to the committee?
We don't have it yet.
Okay, I would like to request that that be considered as evidence to oppose this bill. And just briefly, I'd like to state that I'm in opposition to this because I see this as granting the Board of Fish authority for social engineering, and the outcome of this bill would be redistribution of wealth amongst fishermen, at least in Southeast Alaska.
Is that it, Mike?
Well, I could talk for hours, you know.
I know that.
But that's it in a nutshell. It's I don't want to have to buy another permit to compete with somebody that has to. And there's many people, in at least in our community here, that cannot afford to buy another permit in order to get the same amount of fishing time, area, or gear as someone who can afford to buy two permits, and who that cost would mean nothing to.
Chairman?
Yes, Speaker Harris?
Was the witness named Mike?
Mike Saunders.
And Mike, who do you represent, yourself or a group?
Well, I'm the president of Lynn Canal Gillnetters as well.
Lynn Canal Gillnetters.
And when this idea was a Board of Fish proposal, I ran a letter-writing campaign that generated probably 30 letters against this bill, against this idea, that when it was a Board of Fish proposal.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mike, for your information, one of the sideboards we're looking at is how do you trigger this, so, and I don't know, we don't know how, so that's why we're not moving the bill today. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Charles, was it Trinan? Trinan?
Yeah, Charles Trinan. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I support this bill. It's simply a way to consolidate some permits and to make I guess it's a market-based way to reduce the number of permits and reduce the number of latent permits in a fishery. Latent permits are a real problem and are a drag on investing in a fishery. If you are faced with the concept of having additional permits come to into a fishery or be re-enter the fishery, then you're going to have excuse me, I'm driving and I need to pull over to the side of the road so I can talk.
We need to know who you represent, too.
It's going to be a law pass.
Okay. I'm representing myself. I'm a commercial fisherman, and representing myself, I'm a permit holder in a number of different fisheries, and I've been involved in the industry for 25-plus years. The point that I'm trying to make is that the permit stacking bill takes the prohibition in statute out of to allow permit stacking and puts it into the Board of Fish arena. If a person doesn't want or a group doesn't want any kind of permit stacking, they're capable of opposing it at the Board of Fish level, and there are numerous advantages to having that tool in the toolbox of the Board of Fish in a situation where you have too many permits, a lot of latent permits, and you need to have a way to consolidate permits without doing a buyback. Buybacks are very difficult to enact and costly for government and maybe not feasible financially for the entrance, the people that stay in the fishery. So the point that I think this bill addresses is the problem of of having too many permits in a fishery, and many of the fisheries do have too many permits. The latent permits end up keeping the fishery, I guess, keeping everyone at, on a very low level. Permit stacking, as it can be undertaken at the Board of Fish level, doesn't add any gear to the water. It doesn't force people to buy a second permit. They can still participate at the same level that they've always participated it at with a single permit. And if you have an incremental, smaller increase in the amount of gear per permit with a second permit, then I don't see how anyone can lose on that. It keeps a full complement of gear out of the water. I guess as it's used in, say, a Bristol Bay situation, two permits are allowed to fish on a single vessel, but you're only allowed one-third more gear. In numbers, that means a regular amount of gear in Bristol Bay is 150 fathoms. If you have a second permit holder on the boat, you can have 200 fathoms. So instead of having 300 fathoms of gear in the water for two permits, you've got just 200 fathoms of gear in the water. So really, you're reducing the amount of gear in the water, and the people that have just a single unit of gear are getting an advantage as well. So all I want to say is that I think that this is a really good tool to put in the Board of Fish toolbox, and I hope that you can pass this out of the committee and get it heard and passed through the House. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Any questions? None. Thank you. This time we'll go to Homer, Jason Koontz.
Good morning. My name is Jason Koontz. I'm representing myself. I'm a commercial fisherman and a tender operator. I'd just like to make a few comments on this bill. I think it's a good bill to give. It's a good tool to give the Board of Fish. I tender in Bristol Bay. I've owned a gillnet permit and a gillnetter there and proceeded to go bankrupt there. Struggled and managed to come out of that and buy a tender. I see the struggle that a lot of guys are still going through in Bristol Bay. I think this allows the soup to have some flavor in Bristol Bay. It allows the guys to use some permits that aren't being utilized. It allows some guys to increase their production with the lower price of salmon. It's important that guys are able to generate some income to really make it a viable fishery. If it's not viable, guys like me with a tender are not going to be able to participate. I just think it's a great tool, and we should give the Board of Fish as many tools as they need to revamp our salmon industry. I'm a young guy that has a long-term future in fishing. I've invested heavily, and I want to see the Board of Fish have as many tools possible to make our salmon fisheries as viable as possible. So people that are up and coming have something that they want to go into. If you have something that has no value, we're certainly not going to encourage young people to stay in the fishery and or guys to enter the fishery. So I just think it's a great opportunity for the Board of Fish to go by a case-by-case basis to allow permit stacking. I think a buyback would eliminate the possibility for young guys to enter a fishery. If you take permits out of the fishery, it is going to be a consolidation. This bill does not really consolidate as much as it does just utilizes what's available now, the resources that are available now, and the gear that's available now. It allows people to utilize more gear to make their salmon operation more viable. And I appreciate the time, and I appreciate your guys' hard work down there in Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, thanks. Simon Chad, you there in Homer?
Hi. I'm a junior at the Homer High School, and I'm a permit holder in Bristol Bay. And I would like to support this bill because it would really help the Board of Fisheries for the future of this fishery. It would open lots of doors, and it was the cheapest and quickest way to reduce the overpopulation of this fishery. And for fishery that are counterproductive, the Board of Fish will always say no, so this isn't this is just like a tool. And, yeah, thank you.
Okay, any questions? None, thank you. Tim Mickelson?
Good morning. My name's Tim Mickelson. I fish up in Bristol Bay. I fished up there, I think, since 94. I'm representing myself and I guess my wife. We fish two permits, each of us being a permit holder on a boat up there in the bay. We support this bill. We like it better than a buyback system in that we've already paid for two permits and we'd hate to be taxed or something to get rid of more permits. It will reduce the amount of gear in the water, so I believe it would be a benefit to those who buy a second permit and to the people who don't have two permits just because there'll be less gear in the water. And it also would just be easier to make business decisions on the fishery rather than, you know, kind of fishermen come in with kind of a gambling perspective. And if you have permits out there that people can grab up when it looks good, it takes away the profitable years for those who stay in it. You know, every time it looks like a good run or a good price, then a bunch more people jump in and it still makes everything marginal. And we know fishing, we have bad years, and it's nice to have some good years and be able to count on that rather than it just kind of getting wiped away by people who want to take a shot in the dark. So thank you for your time. I just want to say I support it, and I think it's better than, you know, hitting that optimum number by doing a buyback or something like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? There's none. Thanks again. Gerald, there's a Gugel? Are you there?
Yes, good morning to you. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Gerald Gugel, and I started salmon fishing in 1953, and I want to come out in support of this bill. I'm representing myself at, anyway, let's see, 1953 to present. I'm 56 years old, so I am third generation. There's several things I'd like to present here. The original concept of the limited entry system was something I'm very thankful it came in to being. It did it at one time when the fishery was going relatively well financially. It seemed like there was unlimited number of people vying for the resource. However, in most of the areas, we ended up with more permits actually. As the years gone by, we ended up with more permits than economically could support the fleet. And Kodiak now, I'm going to go to Kodiak. A little bit more history here. I at present have three herring permits, and I have a Kodiak salmon permit. I also want to say I also have a Bristol Bay permit. So every time it's not in my name, this is one of the things that we're dealing with. I'm sure there's, let me catch my words here. I'm sure it is no shocking surprise that as a fishery, we have been suffering. In Kodiak, in these past number of years, there was a time here where I almost paid to go fishing, and fishing is my occupation. I graduated from Pacific Lutheran University with a teaching degree in 73 or 74. And fishing, however, has been my mainstay. I am an honest-to-goodness commercial fisherman. That's it. I have seven children. I've raised seven kids, and this is my livelihood. I have, like I said, three herring permits. So I've done the Prince William and the Cook Inlet and the Kodiak, and I go up to Kodiak in chasing the herring. And then my season, I go into Kodiak, start my salmon fishery, and then I move up and drift in Bristol Bay, and I go back down to Kodiak and salmon fish. And 1992, I made the move into the bay to try to diversify. Being dependent upon just one fishery, like, for instance, just Kodiak salmon, if by chance it just doesn't happen, you know, if by chance you don't have enough fish to support a fishery and you have a tremendous amount of downtime, maybe you only have 10 days of fishing, having the ability to move, having the ability to be flexible is, to me, paramount to financial health. Right now, I have a 19-year-old son that he has a Kodiak salmon permit, and he now has a Bristol Bay permit. He is not, he has to sign whether he's going to use one permit or the other. And I want to inject into this at this time that what a dilemma it has been in 19, whether you're going to, you're going to gamble in one area or not. You got the investment, and you want the flexibility because you want to be wise and you want to be a good fisherman. You want to be successful. You got to make a living at this whole thing. So my son Joseph, he, like I said, he bought into the bay here this year. What I've seen here is that many people are fishing in different salmon fisheries. The thing is many of them are actually doing it illegally, one way or another. So there's a problem that's presented by the way the situation is right now. I know people that do all kinds of different things here to illegally get around this. What I have done in the past with my seven kids now, my Bristol Bay permit has actually gone from Laura. It's gone to Esther. It's been in Samuel's name. And honestly, for my Bristol Bay operation, now I'm looking here, my wife, it's going to be now transferred to my wife. And so in trying to make a living at fishing, the ability of flexibility, especially with cod and with crab and all these other areas going ISQ, the ability to be able to be flexible is becoming more and more difficult. So I can't say enough how much I support this bill. It would be a real blessing to see this bill pass. The other thing that's already been mentioned here. It's an awesome way, I think, to control the number of permits. One of the things that bothers me right now, Kodiak, we're down to 100 boats. But I know that the minute that there's any real sparkle at all in the fishery, you've got 200 permits sitting out there that are very easy to move right back into the fishery. And so the potential of becoming financially viable is stands in jeopardy with those permits drifting out there. And I as Tim had made mention here just a moment earlier, any way here by which we can eliminate some of those permits and give a slight benefit to them, I think would really help the system much better than a tax situation, much better than a buyback program. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? None. Thank you. We go to Kodiak. Pete Thompson.
Yes. Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name is Peter Thompson, and I live and fish out of Kodiak there for the last 25 years. And I've also held a Bristol Bay salmon permit for 18 years. I want to thank the sponsors of this bill and encourage them to continue to push this legislation forward. The salmon industry has been an economic disaster the last 5 years or so, and we do need to look at anything and everything that can make it more economically viable for those that attempt to remain in the salmon business. The fleet consolidation is a concept whose time has come. Most of the limited entry fisheries in the state are plagued by having too many permits. Last year, the CFEC came out with an optimum numbers study that indicated that the number of Bristol Bay salmon drift net permits should be reduced by as much as half. An example of how permit stacking regulations can be applied is available from the Bristol Bay salmon drift net fishery. In 2003, the Board of Fish changed a regulation that allowed a vessel to fish one-third more gear as long as there were two permit holders on board. Specifically, the regulation allowed the double-permitted vessel to fish 200 fathoms of gear instead of the standard 150 fathoms. As a consequence, instead of 300 fathoms of net in the water for two permits, only 200 fathoms was fished. Because there is a significant cost to getting an additional vessel in the water, it can be cost-effective to get an incremental fishing power increase, even if it is less than a whole gear unit for an individual vessel. As a tool for reducing fishing effort and improving the economics of the fishing fleet, the Bristol Bay Permit Stacking Regulation was effective in reducing effort during its inaugural 2004 season. The requirement to have two separate permit holders on board is cumbersome, likely to create conflict, as two captains on a boat doesn't work, and creates incentives to engage in gray market permit trades, as you just heard from the gentleman in front of me. I also want to stress that permit stacking options are much more flexible than many other fleet consolidation options, such as permit buybacks. They're market-based and reversible because an individual fishing operation could easily choose to go back to using one permit at any time and be unburdened of the cost of owning two. For those who are concerned about the prospect of escalating permit prices, the issue is not really the permit cost, it's how to pay for it. There is clearly a need to make commercial fishing a vibrant and a viable contributor to the individual businesses, communities, and the state. Eliminating a statutory impediment to permit stacking simply gives fishing businesses another tool to use in making operational decisions. All vessels will share in having fewer vessels participating through stacking of permits. After 18 years involvement in the salmon business, I'm frustrated and tired of all the talks, studies, task forces, and discussions followed by no real action. Waiting for the state of Alaska or Uncle Ted to bail us out or buy back permits is over. Passing this bill and giving the Board of Fish the tools to effect change is a start in the right direction. The ability to take private sector money and put it to work in reducing fishing effort for the economic benefit of all vessels is a great concept. Its effects are immediate, and that for every stacked permit in Bristol Bay, 100 fathoms of net are removed from the water. Now, I just did some real quick thing last night, and if you bear with me, I'll just run this concept by you. There are currently 1,857 drift permits in Bristol Bay, allowing for 5,571 shackles of gear. Now, if just one-third of the permit holders stack the permit either with another permit holder or an individual with two permits on a single vessel, that would take 1,240 shackles of gear off the water for a reduction of over 22% of nets. To put this in perspective, it would be equal to eliminating 70.5 miles of drift net. That's equal to a net being stretched all the way across Bristol Bay from the Southern District in Ugashik to the Northern Nooshigak District. I'd also like to submit a petition that I have here signed by Alaska Limited Entry Permit Holders that support House Bill number 251. And I got 20 signatures on here that I'll submit to Lorna in the office. And it took me about an hour for that. And if you give me one more day, I'll bet you I'd have 20 more. And I just hear a lot of support out of Kodiak here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Good testimony. Thank you. Leroy Cossette.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Leroy Cossette, and I live in Kodiak. I've fished in Bristol Bay since 1966. Seen a lot of changes in that fishery, and it's time for another change here by enacting this Bill 251 here. You've heard just about all the good points of it, and I'm in favor of just about everything Pete Thompson has said. It reduces the gear by 66% for every permit you stack in another man's name or putting two permits on the boat. And for every 100 boats, that's about 10,000 fathoms of gear. We need the money in Bristol Bay. It's down to sharecropper's wages up there now. This is the way the legislature can help us put some real economics back in Bristol Bay like we had in the 90s there, 80s and 90s. So I hope you guys look favorable on this bill and pass it to the next committee. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? None. Anybody in the audience want to testify? Briefly. I doubt that, but.
I'm Bob Thorstenson, president of United Fish of Alaska. The past 2 years, we've supported this legislation, although we didn't introduce any legislation or ask for any to be introduced last year. We've voted last year for the first time to support it, this year for the second time. One of the things I think you might have identified is the different regional flavors, of course, and most of you already know that and how this works in the state, but it's Southeast. It's probably not a tool that people want to use anytime soon, but it sounds like folks might want to use it, Kodiak or Bristol Bay. For that reason, respecting all the other differences in the regions, and different regions like to use buybacks for fleet consolidation, different regions like to use permit stacking. We're not in favor of this for the whole state, of course, and we're not going to impose this upon anybody who doesn't want it. It's going to have to go through a very rigorous Board of Fish restructuring program that's being implemented. So it's going to be this would be years out. It'll take a while for this to actually take place. But for those folks who are in favor of doing something in their region, they have to make sure to convince the majority of folks in their region that's the right thing to do. For that reason, UFA is in favor of this, but not to impose it upon anybody unnecessarily. Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you, Bob.
None. Thank you. Anybody else want to testify? Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Scott McAllister. I'm here today as an independent fisherman. I've been fishing here in Alaska, purseining here primarily in Southeast Alaska for the last 30 years. It's the mainstay of my livelihood. I support my family with it. A little bit of history on this concept itself. It's been around for many years, and I've been a real champion of this, you know, through the UFA process, Southeast Seiners Association, the organizations that I align myself with. And it's, you know, these things advance in very small baby steps as we go, as an idea matures. And in recent years, latency has become a very, very prevalent problem within the fisheries. It's very difficult to make decisions both on how you're going to structure, make future decisions for quality improvements, efficiency upgrades within your fishery, when knowing that there's a lot of latency out there within the permit structure of a fishery. To invite that latency back into the fishery because you've improved quality and improved the value of your fishery, or you've improved the efficiency of the fishery. So this gives the Board of Fish an opportunity to deal with not just the latency problem, but with these efficiency problems or quality problems that an individual fishery may have at any certain time. It gives them the opportunity to do that. This is an idea. I think the time has come. It's matured. It's before you now, I think, with a lot of support. I support it, and I look forward to seeing this move as you see fit. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other testimony? Oh, Frank.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Frank Holman. I'm one of the commissioners at the Limited Entry Commission, and we'd just like to say that the commission supports the concept of moving ahead with permit stacking, and we have for a couple of years. It's another, you heard it many times, it's another tool in the toolbox, and the thing that would be necessary for any fishery, it's not going to be imposed on anybody, would have to go to the Board of Fish, and they would do an analysis of the fishery and take public testimony. So each fishery would be a case by case basis. They'd have the opportunity during their analysis and discussion to and follow up to monitor these any permit stacking to see how it develops in the marketplace, and who's buying and selling permits, and how the effect is on the latent permit. So I think there's a lot of safeguards in it, and there's a lot of opportunity to try a new tool. So that's all I'll say for today, Mr. Chairman, unless there are questions.
Any questions? None. Thanks, Frank. Anybody else that saw testify?
For the record, my name is Mac Miners. I'm a permit holder in both Kodiak and Southeast Alaska, and just want to go on record to support House Bill 251.
Any questions? Thank you. Nobody else wants to testify? Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move this House Bill 251 from committee with individual recommendations and no fiscal note, I believe.
No objections. 251 is moved. We are adjourned.